Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food.
And there they are, door number one, door number two, door number three, and what door do you want, dear?
Well, hi there, everybody. This is Woody Howe sitting in tonight for Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana. Our friends Dr. Dave and Venus are currently down in Corpus Christi, Texas, on the beach, enjoying all those wonderful things of summer, while my co-host this evening, Dan the Juicer Man, and I are here slaving it out behind the board. How are you doing tonight, Dan?
I'm great. Thank you for bringing me on tonight.
Yeah, great to have you. So we were deciding a little bit about what we would talk about tonight in the absence of Dr. Dave and Venus. First off, just to bring up where our friends are and what they're doing, Dr. Dave was attending a conference for the company that he is the board of, and the supplier of all his medical supplements is Zymogen. They're normally meeting down in Florida in many cases, but in this particular instance, they decided to meet in Texas. So fortunately, it looks like we just dropped Dan here. We're having a few audio problems this evening, so we'll wait and see what happens there. He's down at the conference learning all sorts of new things and a whole bunch of new products and things like that. And they finally, he and Venus finally got to take Saturday, Sunday, and today off down in Corpus Christi, as I mentioned. And they're having a great old time. So without further ado, what we wanted to talk about tonight, and again, hopefully Dan can get back into the show. If not, you're just going to have to listen to my dulcet tones of Mr. Woody Howe here. We want to talk about making choices. And the reason I wanted to do that is that recently, I joined Dr. Dave's weight loss program, and there are two sides to the program that Dr. Dave has put together for us. One is a non-medical weight loss, and the other is a medical weight loss. And part of both those programs, I noticed and I found myself doing the same sort of thing in my life. And what I would say is, hey, you know what, I'm going to be gluten-free this week, or I'm going to be low-carb this week, do high protein, things like that. But this weekend, you know what? I'm going to take a cheat day. And it occurred to me after talking with Dr. Dave and Venus and the team that taking a cheat day is not necessarily the best way to look at it, because what you're doing is cheating yourself, after all. What we inspired each other to do is make choice days. And not necessarily a day, but just choices as we go along. Knowing that when you do make a choice, what you're doing is you're taking full responsibility for that choice. And I'll tell you what, with me specifically, I think Dan's back on the line with us. Dan, you here?
Yeah, I'm here. There was some kind of a glitch, but I'm back now.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just mentioning a little bit about choices here. But in my particular life, Dan and I are roommates up here in Toronto, Canada, and both of us work closely with Dr. Dave and Venus, as you may already know. However, Dan and I have been living together for coming on almost 6 years now as roommates, and he has had a very large impact in my life from things like personal support, but mainly in the medical side and the health side. For instance, just a few minutes ago before the program tonight, he cooked a really healthy a chicken dish. It's his what is that, Dan? It's chicken curry? What
I made a Japanese-style chicken curry with basmati rice.
Can you explain why that's so healthy?
Sorry, why is it so healthy?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's in that that makes it so healthy and would make it a good choice for me, for instance?
Well, everything's organic. I saute, I mean, specifically for you, I'm not sure if this is the right dish for you, but it is a healthy dish, like, as long as you're eating the right portions, right? Like, for myself, right? I'm not going to gain weight eating that kind of a dish. I can't really say the same thing for you, right, because it might not be the right kind of recipe for you, but it is. It's organic chicken. It's sauteed onions with garlic, right, in coconut oil. That's what I use. It's a healthier oil. So when you cook it at a higher temperature, it doesn't change into bad cholesterol, right? And then I cook it in with the Japanese-style curry, some water to thin it down, and then I add in the veggies. And the veggies I added was a few carrots. These are heirloom organic carrots that I added, organic celery, and I actually added one zucchini.
I love it. So let's go back. You know me pretty well, and you know I have started to make these choices in my life specifically to get healthier. And let's talk chicken for just a second. Dan, folks, Dan knows the story intimately, but I used to be addicted to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I used to love it. And I didn't eat it as much, I guess, in the last 3-4 years as I did previous to that. But it was a real issue for me. I used to eat it at least 3 times a week, bare minimum, okay? And I had an issue a couple of years back, New Year's. I was by myself, and I was a little bit, I would have to be honest, and a little bit depressed. So I wanted to bring up my spirits a little bit. And so I ordered a whole just box full of the worst stuff you can pick. I used to always just normally have the chicken and maybe the potatoes or something like that. But in this particular instance, I decided to get for the go for broke. I remember I had the chicken wrap, and I had the popcorn chicken, all deep fried. And in the end, the following day, it turned out to be a really serious, I was bunged up, I guess, best way to put it. And I couldn't go to the washroom, and I had to eventually do an enema. But in that, I believed fully that I was having a heart attack. And good thing I had Dan with me at the time, because that whole event was really life-shattering for me. And since that very event, I have never put Kentucky Fried Chicken to my lips again. So here's the difference. I'm talking about a choice, and it's great that I had someone like Dan as a roommate and as a friend to support me. He made a beautiful chicken dish tonight with organic ingredients. I just had a very small portion. I probably had, I don't know, maybe 3 ounces, Dan, 4 ounces, something like that, real small amount.
Yeah, probably 4 ounces, which is good, because you want to enjoy it, but perhaps it's not the ideal dish specifically for you, right?
Well, there's only one thing in that dish that Dr. Dave would suggest in my particular case, and that would be the glycemic value of those carrots. Other than that, everything else in the dish was absolutely bang on. But again, it comes down to choices, you see. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit, if you're willing to share, and that's fine if you're not, but just let us know, when we were roommates, probably 4 years back now, roughly in around there, maybe three, you were going through some issues with your health. And just wonder if you could share with the crowd a little bit about that. And I'm just going to bring on a caller here that we have in our queue. Again, folks, we're a little bit limited tonight. Normally, Dan and I are just running the green room together, and Dr. Dave and Venus are doing the talking. So there are a few little glitches to be expected. But Dan, can you just tell us a little bit about your condition and how that affected you?
Okay, great. I'll do that. Four years ago.
We normally put people on hold, folks. We have some technical issues. Yes, who's calling on 774-269-3349?
Okay.
Hi.
Okay, so 4 years ago, I had some health issues.
Just for a second. Who's calling on 3349, please?
This is Margaret and Pamela from Boston.
Oh, how are you? Dan and I are hosting the show tonight, ladies, and we're a little bit stuck here because technically we can't do what we normally do, unfortunately. So, Dan, I'm just going to chat with the ladies. That's cool. So, and then we'll get back to you in a second.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? Dr. Dave and Venus are out carrying on down in Texas. What's up, guys?
Well, we were to call and speak to Dr. Dave and Venus, wish them a happy summer. And we haven't. We want to catch up on some restaurants that we've been going out to in Boston.
Yeah, tell us a little more about where you've been going, and we'll be back with a full episode 2 weeks tonight, unless Dan's going to be on next week to help run the green room, because I'm down in Las Vegas next week. But go ahead, let's give us an update, because I know that Dr. Dave and Venus are listening right now on the beach.
Well, say hello, and I hope they're having a great time. So we just came back from the Boston Crab at Bright in the Waterfront in Boston the weekend. Absolutely incredible. It's very rustic, and the seafood is to die for.
I love it.
The lobsters are the best you can possibly eat. Hello?
Yeah, you're still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still here, sure.
Yeah, so tell me about a little bit about the lobsters, because we have another guest coming on shortly, Captain Ralph, as you may have heard in the past. Captain Ralph actually, he finds lobsters around various wrecks in the Long Island Sound. So talk to me, how big was the lobster, and how did they prepare it, that kind of thing?
Well, they were a 2-pound lobster, and we love our lobsters boiled.
Oh, boiled. So nice. Also, you did it at home.
Hi, this is Pam. I'm a fan, and the lobsters are actually caught right off the coast of Maine, up in Bar Harbor. So it's freshwater lobster, sustainable, and right off the boat to the restaurant. And that's why we here in Boston love our lobsters. Thank you very much.
All right, I love it. Have you guys seen? Do you guys watch that Shark Tank show on television ever?
We love the Shark Tank.
Yeah, did you see the episode with those guys, the lobster from Maine, I think it is, or the two guys, cousins lobsters, I think, and they have a little food truck?
Exactly, yes, we did see that. And since that show aired, they've pressed us unbelievable with their business. So it really,
oh, really?
Is, you know, yeah, the Shark Tank really opens up everybody's opportunity for business. It's great.
Cool.
Actually, my nephew works up there, too, in the lobster business.
Oh, I love it.
So it's all good. It really is. So, you know,
what other type of seafoods are there on the menu when you have your lobsters?
Crabs, the crab legs, which they're known for. I'll tell you a funny story. Before, it's all family style, sort of. When they bring the crabs to the table, you were given a rock to crush them. So now you can't do that. So it wasn't sanitized enough, I guess, so they told them they couldn't utilize the rock anymore. But that was what they were known for years ago. When you went there, you just cracked the crab with a rock. It's really good. So, you know, the seaport has developed within the last year. But this little place is right in the middle of every the seaport. It's unbelievable. Right on the water. Really nice.
I love
it. Yeah,
the spirit of the show tonight is just Dan and I decided to make it about making choices. So when you're eating lobster, the one and crab specifically, the thing I love, and I think a lot of people do, is the drawn butter with lots of salt. Is that something you guys do? Of course, and the corn and the cob that goes with it and the crab bake. Is that something you guys do, or do you have more healthier options? Talk to me a little bit about
that. With the crab, I do not use the butter. With my lobster, indeed, I do dunk in the butter. Definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really good.
And what
really
about
good.
The salt?
And then you have your
salt or other spices?
Salt, not too much. I'm not a big fan of salt, but the butter definitely is on the menu all the time.
Perfect. Well, butter, turns out Dr. Dave has let us know that butter is healthy, so that's good to know.
Well, it is. It's all natural, so that's what I think. And then the clams are really good, too. So that's what they're known for. Just, yeah, nothing like a nice fried clam in Boston.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Boston. I've been there for a while, but I had the chance. We had an office down there for Creo, one of the global offices, and I got to go down there for training quite a bit. And the whole family for many years. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, you'll have to come back to see us.
Absolutely, I will.
Yeah, and then we're getting ready for our big 4th of July. I said we're getting ready for the big 4th of July celebration on the Memorial Drive.
Oh, that's going to be...
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's probably about how many hundred thousand? About 100,000 people show up, at least.
Yep.
At least.
I love it.
So it's really good.
Do you guys get down to Nantucket and to Martha's Vineyard very often?
Martha's Vineyard. We have in the past, but to get there, a lot of traffic. And when you work Monday through Friday, that's the last thing I want to do is sit in traffic to get to Cape Cod. So we'll go off season. It's a better time to go, I think.
Yeah. I was lucky because I could go midweek, you know, or something like that, depending on my schedule. I took that ferry across. I think it's like a hydrofoil or whatever. It was really cool.
The hydro, yeah. You get there in what, less than an hour?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and then they got all the cobblestones
really
there in Nantucket, right?
Oh, Nantucket. So it's so picturesque, you know, the cobblestones. It's really nice. Really, really nice. Martha's Vineyard's good, too. And we love up and...
You guys know the name of the airport there? I'm a pilot, and there's a call sign, three-letter call sign, and I got a mug there when I was there on my last visit. You know what it is?
What, the Nantucket, what's the name of the, I forget the name of it, the airport. Oh, my gosh. No, my mind's gone right now. I can't remember it, but.
Back.
Yeah, that sounds good. What was that?
It's ACK, A-C-K.
Oh, ACK, okay.
And I don't know if you ever saw that cartoon strip years ago, Doonesbury with Bill the Cat and all that.
No,
it's
a TV
show. Oh, it's a TV show.
Also, hi, this is Sam again. What was that, the TV show with the brothers? They had the, come on, have one of your producers there. Check it right now online. They had the show, and they ran the little airport that flew the plane
to
the island.
I forget the name of that one. I'll find out for you. TV show airport. I'm that guy, by the way. Wings. There you go. Wings.
Wings.
Yeah.
That was a great show, huh? Yeah, I love that.
That was an awesome show.
Right on. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Dan back in line here because he wanted to share a little bit about some stuff here for making choices. And I believe we have Captain Ralph calling in just a moment. So
okay.
I'm going to wish you guys all the best for the summer. And
encourage
you to call in next week and the week after where Dr. David will be back on deck full time.
Perfect. So we'll chat then. And in the meantime, enjoy your night. Nice talking to you.
And the two girls from Boston are signing off.
All the best, Boston. See you later.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, by the way, one last thing. Sorry. Go Blue Jays. Sorry.
Red Sox. All right.
See you later.
Bye-bye now. Good night.
Bye. Hey, Dan. Sorry. First off, thank you very much for letting the girls from Boston have a little chat there. So tell us a little bit, if you're with us, about your health issues that you have cured, and a little bit about making the right choices in your life as far as getting your health back.
Okay, sure. About 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I had some acid reflux, so I had a lot of health issues going my way. Couldn't sleep at night. I was frustrated, and I started doing some research on how I can fix this problem. And I came across juicing vegetables as one option to, I guess, minimize the acid that I have in my stomach to balance the acids, because I was eating a lot of meat, and I believe my diet was not in balance, so therefore I had a lot of acid and had really bad acid reflux. So once I started doing that, I was drinking vegetable drinks every day for 30 days. I noticed that after 30 days, my acid reflux disappeared. And
really?
I was actually shocked. Yeah, I was shocked. So these kind of choices are choices, you know, I
hey, just for a sec, Dan, I know we have technical issues again.
Okay.
I'm just going to welcome our next caller and keep talking in one second. Okay, just give me a second.
Okay. All right.
Hey there. Thanks for calling Getting Hot in the Kitchen on 5029, last number. Who's that? Is this Glenn?
This is Glenn, yes. Hey, Woody, how you doing?
Hey, Glenn, we're doing great. We have some technical issues this evening just due to how this is all configured, and there's some new software issues with Blog Talk Radio. So I'm just going to have Dan finish off a little quick story he's sharing with us, and then we'll
very good.
Check. Okay, thanks. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Okay, yeah, so the vegetable drinks that I was drinking eventually solved my acid reflux, made my body more alkaline. And from that point onward, I never had acid reflux.
That's very
However,
cool.
I did have other health issues, which I had to figure out myself as well. So making the right choices every day really makes a huge difference in your overall health. And I've noticed that, and I've empowered my roommate, Woody, to do the same, because I know that I've noticed huge improvements in my health just from making simple changes, right? So I want to inspire you and others to do the same, because your health is in your control for you know, part of it. Maybe not all of it, but you can certainly make better choices and feel better and be healthier. That's what I believe. And after... And after doing the juicing, I also started taking probiotics recently, last 3 months. And I had this annoying cough for about 3 years. It was intermittent. And this cough, after taking probiotics for about a month and a half, 2 months, disappeared and hasn't returned. So these are choices that we can all make. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, the only thing that's going to fix it. I don't know all the answers for everybody, but for myself personally, the probiotics fixed my cough. So now, after 4.5 years of living bad choices and having health issues, I now have no acid reflux and I don't have any intermittent cough, which I had daily.
I love it. Your skin's looking better and everything. So, Glenn, I would just want to welcome you aboard here tonight. Again, we're having just a few minor technical issues. We can't leave people on hold and stuff, so everyone gets to listen in and contribute as they go. I just mentioned with one today in Facebook, folks, I just want to be transparent with you. There's a picture that he shared. I swear to God, Glenn, you look like you're 40 years old. So tell us what...
Well, you know what? I feel that way.
Well, there you go. And I know that you are a vegan, and we had you on to discuss about that before. But could you just let the folks know a little bit about choices in your life, where you were earlier in your life, your career, perhaps what inspired you to go, I think, sharing first and then vegan?
I went through a whole series of things since 1970. In 70, I became I guess what you'd call a pesco-lacto-ovo-vegetarian, which meant I ate fish and I ate dairy it was good for me for a long, long time. I did that for health reasons, and it really worked. And like Dan said, I had a number of ailments that I had no reason for, except... there was a simple cure, and that was a dietary change and making the right choices in what I put in my mouth. And then I went on to just worrying about the industry and how everything operated and how deceptive, like, the American Dairy Association was. And to me, I perceived it as that anyway. And so I made a choice to give up dairy. And then when I did that, I realized that it was more than that. The choice that I made was actually based on the fact that I love animals and I love sentient life so much. I really am immersed in it. I love to be in nature. As you know, I hike as many times a week as I can, whether permitting. And that's where I tend to spend most of my time. I think when you're immersed in the energies of the ground and the trees and everything around you, these energies, the choice to immerse yourself in that is so refreshing and renewing. I could eat just about anything and be in that environment and I'd be renewed. I think that's a cure for all ills, including all the dietary things that we indulge ourselves in.
I'd just like to get a little more specific, if you're willing. If not, I understand. And we do have another caller coming in here. I'm just going to add them in just a second. Darla, let me just welcome the caller in, and we'll see if we can do a four-way for the highway here. Okay, so just bear with me, guys.
Okay.
Hi there. This is Woody at Getting Hot from the Kitchen. Caller on 5181. Is this Captain Ralph?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Captain Ralph, we're having a few technical glitches here. Nothing serious. I'm going to let you listen in. I just want to finish off with Glenn. We're going to have a chat with you and get back to Dan, okay? So we do have a bit of a delay, guys, and again, there's some audio difficulties. Nothing serious. So just hang tight, Captain Ralph, and listen in. Glenn, what I wanted to know, if you're willing to share, is the specifics of your health issues, because I really think that's the key to everything moving forward. In my case, I'm overweight, so that's why I'm doing it. I don't have any other diabetes or anything. Dan had the acid reflux and the bad cough. And I believe all these things are caused by inflammation primarily. So could you just speak to maybe, without getting too sensitive, too personal, what was it that was your main malady, and how do you think your change in diet fixed that?
You mean as far as improving my health overall?
Yes, sir.
Well, they've made me a case study at the Veterans Administration, and I meet with a team of doctors, and they review my blood work. I have blood work and a complete physical every 6 months, and it's free. I love it. And the reason they're doing this is because they have never had a non-service-related person in the VA that has gone on a vegan diet and wanted to document it.
So cool.
What they did was they followed my blood work. My triglycerides went way down. Over the period of the last 5 years, I've lost 60 pounds. And wow. I want to stop losing now. I'm at the weight I'd like to be, but I was losing about a pound every month, which my doctor said, hey, when you lose it at that rate, you're not going to gain it back. And it's consistent and steady, and you're toning at the same time, so maybe you're losing 2 pounds of fat, but you're gaining a pound of muscle, so the scale only shows a pound.
Yeah.
There's a lot of considerations, and you have to make your choices, but I know you got another caller on the line, Woody, so I want to sum this up. I have something to say about choices and making choices. You're always making choices. Every one of us is, whether we like it or not. It's a matter of whether we're mindful of these choices and in direction of them, or whether they're being made unconsciously or because of some mechanism that's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. And once we can make a choice to see the difference between who and what is making the choices, I think a lot of choices become really clear.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense, and I think the audience that tunes in regularly knows that your daughter is very, very much into yoga and all the related modalities, really healthy. And the thing that really stuck for me today, I think you also know Tim Singer. He's on a separate program altogether. But one thing I'm noticing, and I've noticed with my roommate too, skin. It's all about the skin, you know? And that's where I think, because what I've learned, and I didn't know, and I think a lot of people may not know this, but the skin is our largest organ, right? And so if you're going to be inflamed, you're going to have different types of things in your skin. But like when we're younger as kids, when we're eating grease and crappy menus and stuff, we get the zits, right? And all sorts of weird things on the skin. I've noticed your skin. You look young. There's another caller. Oh, he just dropped. And hopefully he'll call us back. That was Dan, sorry. We have Captain Ralph on right now, and he has very clean-looking skin. So anyway, thanks, Glenn. I'm just going to move
You're
over
very
to
You're welcome, Woody. You keep in touch, and we'll talk soon, okay?
We'll do, and we'll get down for a walk in the forest soon, I promise.
You bet. You have a great evening. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you, mate. Captain Ralph, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Woody. How are you?
Good, man. We're having a few technical glitches, as I said. There's not much I can do about it. It's the software at Blog Talk Radio. I'm great. So talk to me a little bit about Seafood Safari. Where are we doing? What's happening? I think it was black bass season opened today. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, sea bass season opened today, black sea bass. So I had a charter today, which wasn't Seafood Safari related, but guys had a good time. And, we're just plugging along. Looks like we'll be picking up a little momentum. I'll be filming a chef named Tom Shardell next Tuesday, I believe. We're going to film him cooking and some interview stuff so we can make a teaser for him. And we're in the middle of re-editing Noah's footage for another teaser for Noah. So
love
we
it.
Should have some new videos coming out soon, which should give people an idea of how cool Seafood Safari is really going to be.
It's going to be even cooler, I think, dude, because I'm pretty sure I got Dr. Dave convinced, but he's spending a lot on his holidays, so we'll figure something out. But there's this great new camera, 360 coverage in a circle, full streaming, and it goes up and down as well. And so I decided I'm going to pick that bad boy up, and then you're welcome to use it on the boat. But I think, how cool would that be? Just mounted on the top frame, piloting the craft, the boat, halftime in a circle, and then all the way around while you're pulling in the fish and coming off the deck and stuff, as well as in the kitchen. Think how cool that will be, right? Put it on the hood. You just there's a little clamp. You put it on the range hood where the chef is cooking, so you can actually see the cooking below, and all they can pan live around the whole kitchen while he's cooking and doing all of what he does. So, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to also let our friends over at Vinny Allegretta Racing, number 41, Vinny, to put it in his car. We're going to try and live stream the race from inside the vehicle, 360, while he's racing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I'm coming down later in July, and we should have the camera, and we should hook up and go out just for a run and have some fun with it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, hey, we'll get Dr. Dave jumping in the water with the tanks, right?
Yeah, he said he would. I have the shipwreck that I want to take him to isn't that deep. It's 60 feet. He can do that.
I love it. Did you happen to check out my Facebook post from yesterday in my feed about Divex Hydronautics?
No, I did not get to that. Sorry.
Yeah, check it out if you get a chance. There's a picture of a business card. It's my very first business of all time, and it was called Divex Hydronautics. And I thought of you right away. I don't know. I just had one of those nights yesterday, and I thought, you know what? I just want to put that up there. And it was myself and my buddy Renee, and we had our scuba license, all three certifications. And so we decided to start a company, and this is a quick funny story because it's so funny. We did the whole thing. We went out to the store and to the dive shop, and we rented all the gear and everything and got all sorts of stuff and mats, you name it, we did it. I think we had 100 of the day back in 1974 or 5, and we had $120 worth of rental gear at the time. So just imagine how much we had, like four tanks,
right.
You know, EC vests, you name it, right? All to fix this drain, this pool at this our neighbor's house, right? So we go there, we show up, and everyone's all impressed. All these people are walking around, and Renee just comes up to me and he goes, "It's a leaf." Woody, it's a leaf in the drain. There's a leaf there. So he goes down with his snorkel and pulls it out, and we charge him $10 and we leave this. It was like 3 hours to load out, 3 hours to load in, and all that. It's just crazy. So there you go. I that was my very first business franchise as an entrepreneur. $10. We put in the bank, but we spent $140.
Yep. That's typically how I address it. Yeah, my boat is so expensive, so we're still trying to pay for that.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the black sea bass. Is it sea bass?
Yeah, black sea bass are delicious. I mean, they are one of my favorites. Even Dr. Dave said he loved them as well. Very white, sweet meat. They're fast growing, not endangered at all, so they're on quite a few menus on Long Island each night, I would assume.
Very cool. Dan, would you like to chat with Dr. or Dr. I'm going to call him Dr. Ralph. What the heck? No, Captain Ralph for a few minutes about fish, because Dan's a really big, he loves eating fish, I'll tell you.
Yeah, sure. How are you doing, Captain Ralph?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Oh, great. Thanks. Now, when you go and you catch these fish, these are all wild, right?
Correct.
So tell us, you've obviously tasted the difference between the wild fish and, like, farm fish that you would find, like, in a grocery store. Can you tell us, the taste is obviously different, way different. Do you want to maybe give us a little bit about your experience, like, taste and flavoring, what the differences might be?
Well, yeah, the wild fish, the wild sea bass, they don't farm sea bass. They farm striped bass with a hybrid striped bass. But the sea bass eat, like, little crustaceans and barnacles and clams and all kinds of worms and stuff. So I guess that's what helps drive the flavor. It has a sweet. Whenever you talk to people who really have had a lot of different local fish, most of the time, sea bass is very high on their list of what they like, just because it's just so flavorful.
Yeah, actually, I've bought sea bass, like wild-caught sea bass, and it was delicious. Like, you know, I prepared it right away, and it was a great fish. Like, I loved it.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm sure if you catch it right off the boat, and you say sometimes you actually cook it right on the boat, is that correct?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm actually a fan of sashimi quality, where you bring down the temperature and hold it for a little while. So I actually think the meat has a better texture if you let it chill for a whole day in like 30-degree water, ice water, like a slush. And it really makes the fish will last so much longer. It's, you know, the Japanese really are very proficient at, you know, preserving the fish, and they eat so much raw fish that they really know what they're doing. So
yeah,
we all read a manual.
That's a good point. You make a great, you know, I eat a little bit of sushi and sashimi as well. And, yeah, when you try something that is, you know, professionally done by an excellent chef, you really notice the flavoring and the taste. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they rely on us, the fishermen, to process it in a certain way so that they get what they want, the quality that they want. So as soon as we get the fish, sea bass you can sell live as well. So I have little pens, and I can catch them live in a trap and sell them live, or you can spearfish them or rod and reel and sell them dead. But either way,
right,
you know, you want to keep them how they want them, you know, nice and fresh. And if they're dead, then you're going to put them in ice water and really bring down the temperature quickly.
Right, still maintain freshness. That's great.
Got a question here, guys. Where does tilapia come in, Captain Ralph? Do you know much about it? Because someone told me in our local market, if you look on the ice by the fishmonger inside the grocery store, there's so much tilapia everywhere. What's the deal with that? I've heard it's not really a very good fish for you, or it's not a very good flavorful fish?
It's not really good for you. It's a very fast-growing farmed fish. A lot of controversy surrounding it. The controversy is getting more intense because there's more reporting on exactly where it's coming from and what they're doing to raise them. It's all on the internet, but people should be very leery of tilapia. I mean, a lot of people like it, and it's very affordable. But when you really dig into how they raise them, there's a lot of, you know,
Okay. Why is that? Just due to the bacteria or stuff like that, or what's going on exactly?
What they feed them, the actual pens that they're kept in are not very sanitary. You don't hear a lot of people getting sick from it, but I don't know long range if eating a lot of it. You know how it used to be where you couldn't eat swordfish because of the mercury?
Yes.
A lot of the pens that they grow those things in are old farm fields that had, you know, fertilizers in them. And, you know, I don't know. They're really uncovering a lot of, I don't know, scary things about those. But there is a lot of it. I mean, they do grow quickly, and they are very proficient at farming them.
Is it a native to the East Coast, you know?
No. No, I don't know where they come from. Mostly from, I think, Asia is the main supplier. China.
Okay, now that makes sense.
People should do their homework.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I know there was a similar story from British Columbia, Canada, about farm-raised salmon, too, having a lot of other serious concerns. So, yeah, it's something, again, this whole show is about choices, right? So when you go to the market, part of your choice is cost versus health. And, you know, as simple as going to the drive-thru, right, because you're in a rush to eat something. You choose to get something that may not be the healthiest option, but it's a cheaper option. So I can see where all this comes into play. When you're talking like the sea bass, what kind of price are we talking in relation to sole or maybe salmon or something like that?
It's probably right up there with salmon, maybe a little bit more expensive. Sea bass is so is in such demand that I don't know. I get $6 a pound for the whole fish.
Oh, that's pretty good. And how big are the fish when you catch them?
They just raise the size. They have, well, there's a commercial size, and then there's a recreational size. The commercial fishery has been closed. It's going to open July 1st. It'll be open for all of July. Those fish can be smaller, but a recreational fisherman, they just changed the regulations in New York to 15 inches.
Cool.
Which is quite
large. That would be about 2.5 pounder, maybe, something like that?
No. Pound, yeah, 2 pounds. I don't know if it made 2.5.
Okay, cool. Well, that's been very, very important.
A good serving size.
What's that?
A good serving size, like the fillet is the perfect size for, you know, a serving, one side.
I love it. And again, how do you catch those? Because I know the lobsters you get near wrecks, right? You just go in and manually grab them out of their hiding spot. The clams are scallops are usually bottom, right? They're down there. And I saw that really cool video. One of your mates there, he shared that video about the crabs all just jumping on top of each other, a big pile of moving crabs. What about the sea bass? How are they caught? Is that spear gun?
Well, closest, we spearfish them, so you can see that they're big enough. We don't shoot anything that's too small. And then there's sea bass ponds that they swim into, and then they're alive. So you can, you know, let the little ones go and keep the size that you want. And we're allowed 50 pounds per day.
Oh, well, that's very good.
So, it's not that much.
Just not to pay for your diesel on the boat, right?
Yeah. No, it's a little bit of a it's more of a hobby. It's not really very lucrative. But if you add it in with everything else, it helps.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. All righty. Well, I'm just going to thank you for calling in. I want to finish off here. We only got a few minutes left tonight. I'd like to have a quick chat with Dan before we go, and really encourage everybody to check out seafoodsafari.com. It's a beautiful website. It's coming together real nice. Captain Ralph allows you to donate some money, and you get into the great contest just coming up. I believe the first drawing is on July 5th, which is a week tomorrow. And I believe you're doing how many over the summer? There's like 11 or 12 drawings?
10 drawings, 10 weeks, 10 drawings. Should be great.
Oh, yeah, 10 weeks, and it's a really good chance to get yourself all fired up and win a really nice gift certificate to a restaurant. And also, there's a really great teaser up on Seafood Safari TV. And I'm telling you, folks, you see that and you really get a sense of what they're going to be doing. This is the next big thing on TV, I guarantee it. But when it comes out, I'm really excited for you because I know it's going to be a winner, winner, chicken dinner, guaranteed.
Thank you.
All right, Captain Ralph, all the best, man. And we'll be down in New York in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks for roughly, and hopefully we can hook up for a nice cold beverage and get that camera on the boat for you.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for having me on, Woody.
All the best, man. See you later.
All right. Good night.
Cheers. And back to Dan, the juicy man. How you doing, Dan? Thanks for being patient while we had all these tips.
Oh, great. Anytime. I'm glad I shared my story, and I really enjoyed hearing other people's stories tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you do me a favor? Just talk a little bit about the juicing. And my understanding about the juicing, again, back to choices, is why would someone buy a juice? Now, when we were living together, I know you're gonna cringe probably when I bring this up and remind you. But we used to go to the grocery store and remind each other to get, I think, two big jugs of grapefruit juice. Remember that? And it all sweet grapefruit juice. And we thought we were doing the best thing. Remember? It was like we're so proud of ourselves. We're drinking grapefruit juice until... I forget which one of us figured it out, probably you, that like a 10-ounce glass was 160 calories, like a soda. Was that something like that?
Well, it was definitely me, I can tell you that. I started looking at not only drinks, but food. Like I started looking at sodium, I started looking at sugar, I started looking at calories. Not that I am concerned about calories, but more so about the sugar and the sodium and all the other items that are in the food and drinks that we consume every day that we don't necessarily want, right? So
yes.
That's why I started making my own drinks so that I can control what I put inside it and also the taste and the flavor, and I like to experiment, so I'm always drinking something different, right?
So then share with us the iterations of different juicers. You started, I think, with a Nutribullet or something and went all the way up to the Vitamix. Just explain the ones that you bought, when you bought them, what they do, like the masturbating. Try to explain a little bit why you made those choices.
Okay, well, the I believe I brought the Magic Bullet first. That was several years ago. I think that was the machine that came out. It was just a simple machine that you could quickly make a juice in. And, you know, it's limited as far as what it can do, but it was okay, like, to get started. And then I decided I wanted to get a juicer that separates the pulp so that I can just drink straight pure juice. However, that is kind of costly, and the amount of juice that you extract out of a juicer is limited, right? And you're throwing away all the pulp. And that's something that I found out later is something you want to possibly consume because the pulp is healthy. There's a lot of insoluble fibers that's good for the digestion system and helping you be regular and everything else, right? So I went from Nutribullet to a Jack LaLanne juicer to an Omega juicer, which is a high-quality juicer, and then I bought a Breville juicer, and then I eventually went into and bought a Vitamix. So Vitamix is a high-powered blender, so everything you put in there stays in the blender. You get all the fiber inside. You can make soups with it. You can make ice cream. You can make all kinds of stuff with it. It's actually a very useful tool in the kitchen, like a sous chef. That's what I use the Vitamix for, and as well as making my juice. So all the combination of machines that I bought have been really helpful.
I used your Vitamix there because Dr. Dave has me on a wonderful detox program, and it's called Opti Detox, and it's this. It's got really fine powder. It's not. It's not kind of like, you know, if you ever had chocolate milk, chocolate quick, or I think they've got Bosco down in the States, and it's like a chocolate powder, right, or a hot chocolate powder. It's not like that. It's kind of hard to explain. It's much more fine. But I put that into the myself. It wouldn't mix properly. I really invigorated it like quite a bit. But you put it in the Vitamix there, and I put in just some blackberries and just a touch of stevia just to take the bitterness out of it ever so slightly. Man, it's so good, and it's really good for you. So, yeah, that worked really good. One thing I just wanted to finish off here with about making choices, if we could, is the choice between the juices. And this is the thing that really, I think there's a lot of controversy here as far as the juice that's in the store, right? You can get no pulp, low pulp, heavy pulp. When you made juices previously, I remember we were drinking just the juice, and then I realized it's mostly sugar. Mostly the sugar is being coming with the juice, but no fiber. And lately what I've noticed is I will take a glass, and you'll always ask me if I want a juice, and sometimes yay, sometimes nay, depending on my mood. But I'll always have you put 3 or 4 ice cubes in there so that I take less of the actual juice, try to get as much of the fiber as I can, but keep the calorie count, excuse me, down to like about 60 or 70 per class. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because is that why you more or less decided to keep the fiber for health reasons, or what's the main reason there?
Well, yeah, the fiber, the insoluble fiber you get when you make your own juice is very healthy for the body. It keeps you regular, and to be honest, I actually like the pulp. But the reason I stopped buying it from the store is because of the extra ingredients that I didn't want to have in my drink. For example, the extra sugars, the extra sodium, and these are items that I don't really care to have. Right. If I want something sweeter, I'll maybe add a little bit of fruit for a natural sweetener, or maybe some stevia, because I don't believe in consuming extra sugar for no reason, having extra carbs. Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've recently dropped 10 pounds lighter over last year because I want to be more active with the kids and play more sports with them. Not that I wasn't active last year, I was. It's just that now with 10 pounds lighter, I'm a lot more active and I feel much better. So I've cut back a little bit on the juices. I do it about 3 times a week, whereas I used to do it every day. And I also kind of pay attention to my portion control on my food so that I'm not gaining that extra weight back. So that's something that I've done. And I feel really great.
Yeah, I would like to just end on this point, but I really liked how you said about the kids, because it's so special watching you play with the kids and how much they get, just so much enjoyment out of it. And that's a choice right there. That's where I can see where making a choice in your life to say, I want to be around for a long time, and I want to have fun with my kids. And my choice, for me to be able to do that, I may need to have to cut back on some calories or losing the weight, so I'm not quite as winded. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all have choices. We all can decide, you know, what we want to do, right? Whether we choose to eat less or exercise or whatever we decide. I personally like to make a lot of good choices for myself, and I'm not perfect. I will make some bad choices once in a while, but I deal with it, right?
But again, you're making the choice, and even if, you know, again, this whole show tonight was dedicated to the idea of making choices, right? Not
correct.
So much about making always the right choice or often making the bad choice. It's taking responsibility for the fact that you did it. And when you take personal responsibility, just little things I'll finish off with. When Dan got part of the Dr. Dave program, I'm on the transformation weight loss program. Part of the solution there for me was to get off gluten, basically off carbs. you know what? I never realized before until I had to choose between getting bread or not getting bread. Well, I don't eat bread anymore, and I don't miss it, to be honest with you. I had a clubhouse sandwich yesterday. I made the choice to go out for breakfast and have a clubhouse, and I felt crappy all day. Crappy all day. The moment I ate that, the moment I went to bed, I was shifting around my bed last night. I didn't sleep that well, and I'm telling you, my muscles are aching today. There's something about that gluten that, you're right, man, I'm telling you, there's something there. I don't know what it is exactly, but, you know, we grew up with choices. And remember our last event in New York with Dr. Dave? One of the things we did was we served Wonder Bread on little skewers. Remember that? And by doing
that,
put it in their mouth to just let it sit in their mouth for a while and then break down the sugars. And it's amazing how sweet it becomes. It's like eating candy almost. But when we were kids, and I don't know about you necessarily because you're from a different kind of era than I am in different folks, but my parents, oh, man, in Willowdale, Ontario, Canada, back in the 1960s and early 70s, we had Wonder Bread. We had peanut butter, jam on, tons of butter on Wonder Bread, white bread. And that is the worst, awful stuff you can put in your body. It's nothing healthy about it at all. And back in the day, my parents made the choice for us. We couldn't make the choice as kids. And I think that's in this day and age. It's important when you go out with your kids and you're playing with your kids, maybe make the choice not to go to a fast food restaurant. Every now and again, you know what I mean? So, anyway, I'd just like to thank you very much for sitting in here tonight. And we couldn't hear from Dr. Dave McGinnis tonight. They're in a very busy restaurant, I understand. It's very noisy, and they're having quite the celebration. So it would have been almost impossible to hear them on the line. So, tune in next week. First off, thanks very much, Dan. We have to give you the call.
Oh, anytime. I'm glad to be a guest.
And as you probably already know, folks, Dan is our green room manager. He takes care of all the calls every week, and we'll be doing so for an upcoming announcement soon for another program that we're putting together. It's going to be a lot of fun. And again, thank you very much, Dan. I really appreciate you. Tonight. And everybody else out there in Blog Talk land, thanks for putting up with our technical difficulties tonight. Until next week.